Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
How's everybody feeling?
I'm good, considering.
Everybody's normal temperature.
So far, so good.
No dry cough.
I did just get off a flight a few days ago, so.
I cough, but it's very productive, so I don't think it's anything to worry about. This whole situation's really gone viral, though, huh?
Yeah, totally.
But this is not a Corona Extra podcast. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 15 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs...
like us.
...decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
A History of Traviolence.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Travideodrome.
Uh-huh. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Shauners, a.k.a. A Shaundurous Method. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome to the show, back to the show, two returning guests. To my left, Cosjopolis. This is rough. A.k.a. David Jonenberg. And we're also joined by... Crimes of the Future. Yeah, I was stretching. It's okay. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes, reboots, sequels. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right, at this point, I want to ask you guys a question. Can you point out an example of a good remake or a remake that's better than the original? Who wants to go first?
I think I have mentioned this before on the podcast. And normally, remakes are in reboots or, you know, not what we're after, but there are some exceptions, and The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, okay.
The one that was done in the early 2000s.
Gotcha.
Remake of the 70s movies, both very good movies, arguably better. I think The Evil Dead 2 technically is a sequel.
But it's kind of a rehashing of the events of the
first
one. Yeah,
it's more or less just a reboot or redux of the first, and it's a better movie, I think.
Chelsea?
I'm cheating. I'm using The Fly again.
Only I was going to say fits. The Fly.
Only because it fits. The first time you asked me that question, that's
what I said.
You said
The Fly?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a Cronenberg adjacent Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah. That is good. What about, this isn't Cronenberg, but what about The Thing?
That's a good one.
The Thing? Talking about the Kurt Russell one.
Yeah. It's not superior to the...
The original Vincent Price, The Thing? Or is that The Fly?
You're thinking of The Fly, I believe.
All right. With that, we're going to move into movie news.
Lightning edition.
Lightning edition. There's a lot of stuff, and it's all not great. First off, RIP to the great Max von Sydow, star of The Seventh Seal and The Exorcist. He passed away at the age of 90. Pretty good run.
Yeah, he's playing death in a game of checkers in the sky.
Yes. this is good news. Harvey Weinstein was sentenced to 23 years for sexual assaults. And amid coronavirus concerns, South by Southwest is canceled, but won't offer refunds to ticket buyers. That's just asking for a shitstorm of litigation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cannes Film Festival has not been canceled yet, but if they do have to cancel, they are not covered by insurance. So, I mean, they have general insurance, but they were offered the opportunity to take an option specifically for this type of scenario, and they declined. So they're going to take a hit financially if they do have to cancel. But apparently there's like one really, really rich dude who kind of funds the festival, and he can afford it. Next, Vin Diesel lets it slip that Guardians of the Galaxy will turn up in Thor 4 or Thor Love and Thunder. Is that right? Thor Love and Thunder?
Something like that.
I believe. And so by that, I mean the assembled Guardians, the team of Guardians, are going to make an appearance in Thor 4. Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, have both tested positive for coronavirus. And that has put Tom Hanks' Elvis Presley biopic on hold. So I hadn't even heard that he was making an Elvis biopic.
And who's he playing?
I really hope that he's playing old Elvis.
No, he's, I bet you he's Colonel Parker.
Colonel, oh, he might be thinking. The Colonel.
Colonel, okay. Is what I would have guessed too.
And that's a little bit analogous to the role that he played in That Thing You Do.
It's, you know, it's age appropriate too.
Right. CinemaCon 2020 is canceled due to coronavirus. Mulan, Antlers, and The New Mutants have been removed from Disney's release schedule.
What is that about?
Which one?
The last one about Mulan and Antlers and whatnot.
Okay, so Mulan is the live-action remake of the Disney animated film. Antlers is a horror movie, and I didn't even realize that they were behind that.
Why are they removing them from their release schedule? What is that about? I
think because they know that they would take a huge financial hit if they were released like in 3 weeks. New Mutants were supposed to come out the beginning of April, I believe. Uh-huh. So they would...
In related news,
I didn't think about theaters being places to avoid. Yeah,
right. Okay. In related news to New Mutants, who's our girl from Game of Thrones? She was Arya. She's in the movie, and she's confirmed that there is a lesbian relationship in New Mutants.
Also, coming soon to a conspiracy theory near you, Netflix and Hulu are behind the coronavirus, killing the cinema theater industry.
And then finally, the Tribeca Film Festival is postponed due to the coronavirus. What do we think, guys?
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
You got to roll with the punches. Speaking of punching it up, it's time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
My name is Dana, Chief Corrections Officer Dana. I carry a badge and a microphone. You fellas and dame did a lot of gum flapping, and now we're going to have a little chin about your show. Verotica is a horror anthology that compiles stories from Glenn Danzig's line of shitty comic books. Stephen Dorff was not in The Lost Boys. Stabler and Elliot are the same character. I think Chelsea was going for Benson and Stabler. All right, I got to hop it out of here. See you around.
All right. Thank you, Dana. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that you corrected Chelsea for once. And it seems like you might have a little bit of gum on your shoe. That will close the doors at the Department of Corrections Department for this week, which brings us to the theme of the episode. In celebration of his 77th birthday on March 15th, we're talking the films of David Cronenberg. Cronenberg, also known as the King of Venereal Horror... and the Baron of Blood, was born in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Andrew!
And Chelsea.
And Buck.
And he reached cult status as a horror meister with the gore-filled modern vampire variations of Shivers and Rabid. Later, he gained popularity with the head-exploding telepathy-based Scanners. He became sort of a mass media guru with Videodrome in 1983. Then the issues of tech-induced mutation of the human body and topics of the prominent dichotomy between body and mind were back again in The Dead Zone and The Fly, 1983 and 1986. Then in 1988, with Dead Ringers and Naked Lunch, he proved that he was no longer just a genre movie maker, and he was actually a full-fledged auteur director. Sean's rolling his eyes. I'm hoping just at the word auteur.
No, yeah, that. I read this exact summary that you're...
Good. I wrote it myself.
Yeah, whatever source you're pulling it from, I read the same thing. And I did roll my eyes then, too.
So, how do we feel about him as a movie maker?
I love Cronenberg's stuff. Mm-hmm. He's so weird and interesting. And, you know, his career spans, I think, two arcs. Like you said, you've got the grotesque horror, and then he starts getting into a sexual deviance leading into psychological investigation. So he kind of proved one thing, and then he said, I'm going to go do something else now. And he hasn't done a whole lot lately. But
true.
He covered plenty of ground, and he did it well.
I think that I read a story not too long ago where he said that he might not make another movie. Joey, thoughts on Cronenberg?
I agree pretty much with what Sean said. I think that it's natural to compare him to David Lynch.
Yeah.
Lynch is more surreal, but they both have a similar sort of...
hairstyles?
Yeah, well, that and just like a obsession with the grimy and surreal.
Mm-hmm. I've always compared him to like John Carpenter.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Kind of between those two, maybe. Mm-hmm. And Videodrome is, which we'll do first, right? Mm-hmm. Is a much different movie than I remembered it being from a long time ago.
It's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chelsea, thoughts on Cronenberg?
He's just a bizarre dude.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. He has a lot to say. Sometimes I don't fully understand because it gets lost in the weirdness, mm-hmm. but he's cool. I like him.
That's exactly how I felt about the movie Cosmopolis or Cosmopolis. Cosmopolis?
I would say Cosmopolis.
Cosmopolis.
Yeah.
With Robert Pattinson, soon to be Batman, in, I think he showed a little bit of early range there outside of his sparkly vampire. but that movie itself had a lot to say, but got dredged down in how strange it was. I did like the fact that the whole thing took place in a limo. In that, it reminded me kind of like Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and talk about our double features. This is where we go around the panel and we each suggest two movies that are within our category or our subject at hand and why they would make a good pairing, why they would be good to show back to back. And Joey, would you like to give us yours first?
Sure.
And then Chelsea will follow you up.
I have two. One, I think, from the early sort of horror period. Kind of, he was into really gory but yet psychological horror, I think. And it's The Brood from 1979.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen this, but I've seen it a couple of times, and it always really freaks me out. There's a psychologist who's doing some sort of experiments on this very troubled woman, and his experiments start producing these mutant children who like that are sort of born out of her experiences. Chelsea, I think you selected this one too, so is that accurate?
Yeah, no, you're right.
This is the beginning of his
Don't take mine.
Fine, I'll shut up.
I won't say a whole lot more about it because I don't want to steal Chelsea's thunder, but I do like this movie. It's one of my probably one of my favorite Cronenberg movies.
I saw this as a kid.
I've never seen it.
Oh, that's a bad...
Oh,
it stuck with me a long time.
I bet that it did, yeah. And the other one is kind of a little bit later, a couple of years later, and this is kind of still in that same vein, but starting to move in a different direction. It's Scanners from 1981. Yep. Another kind of psychological thriller about people with telekinetic powers.
Mm-hmm.
There's the famous head exploding scene, which you mentioned earlier, I think. So yeah, that's my double feature.
Right on.
Michael Ironside was great in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bronson Ironsides. Chelsea, so you also selected The Brood as one of yours. So go ahead and kind of piggyback off of what he said.
So I have The Brood and Shivers from 1975.
Okay.
And as Sean was going to steal my thunder, I think it's kind of an early manifestation of this idea of the new flesh, which is really prominent in Videodrome.
Right.
But I think he toys with this idea in both of these movies in kind of different ways. Shivers is, I mean, people call it like a vampire movie. I call it more of like a zombie type movie where the new flesh idea is not as in your face as these other films.
Not as fleshed
but
out.
No, it's not. But I still think he taps into that idea as these people are taken over by these sexual desires. And then in The Brood, the manifestation of the kids as she goes through these experiences kind of aligns a little bit with Videodrome, where the guy says, I don't have a tumor. It's a new organ growing in my head. Just,
He said, it's not a tumor.
Which feeds directly into Videodrome.
Uh-huh.
But also, don't forget the ending. The little girl, she has the manifestation at the end
of
her anxiety. She's got these little bumps on her arm representing
and the
new flesh.
And the marks on their back and all of that.
The yolk sack.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary this week called Long Live the New Flesh, the films of David Cronenberg. But it was interesting contextually because it was made in the late 80s. So it was all about his early career.
Cool.
All right, so I'm going with a couple of his later movies. These are both mid-2000s. And the first one is called A History of Violence from 2005 with an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. When a pair of petty criminals attempt to rob his small-town diner, Tom Stahl, played by Viggo Mortensen, quickly and easily kills them both. In the flush of news coverage of Tom's seemingly heroic actions, a threatening stranger named Carl Fogarty, played by Ed Harris, comes to town, fingering the unassuming family man, as long-missing Philadelphia mobster Joey Cusack. To the horror of his wife, Edie, played by Maria Bello, who was really hot in this, and teenage son Jack, played by Ashton Holmes, Tom finds he must confront his violent past. And I'm going to pair that with another Cronenberg Mortensen team up, which is called Eastern Promises. A very, very violent, very graphic movie. Nikolai, played by Viggo Mortensen, who is both ruthless and mysterious, has ties to one of the most dangerous crime families in London. He crosses paths with Anna, played by Naomi Watts, a midwife who he has come across potentially damaging, who has come across potentially damaging evidence against the family, which forces him to set in motion a plan of deceit, death, and retribution. Are you guys fans of Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah, he's fine.
I like him. I also thought that casting him opposite Ed Harris in History of Violence was a really good chemistry casting. I think that they played off of each other really well. So yeah, that's my double feature, A History of Violence and Eastern Promises. And I do owe a debt to a potential guest who's not here today, Todd. Those were his suggestions for recasts today, Eastern Promises and A History of Violence. Sean, you were going to say?
I'm going to go with 1988's Dead Ringers. This is where Cronenberg starts getting into sexual relationships and relationships in general. This is starring Jeremy Irons playing the role of twin gynecologists, and they use their similarities to their advantage in their relationships. One's more outgoing than the other.
Right.
And when he gets bored with a girl, he just kind of trades him off with his brother, and no one's the wiser. Except there's this one girl that enters the picture, and the shy brother kind of takes the lead. That causes a rift between the brothers, and thus begins this very symbolic struggle between the two. The more outgoing brother has someone craft these insectoid type tools for his gynecological practice.
Oh, good.
Which is kind of a bridge between his horror stuff and his
sexuality.
Well, that stuff. And then the Naked Lunch film that came out not too much longer afterwards with its insectoid kind of overtones. So there's that one. It's really a weird one, as you would expect. And I'm following that with 1996's Crash, not to be confused with the Don Cheadle Academy Award-winning film.
The David Soderbergh Crash.
Yes. This stars James Spader, Holly Hunter, Patricia Arquette, and Deborah Kara Unger, who plays his wife, who you don't see her in a lot of stuff, but she's absolutely stunningly gorgeous in this film. And the film is about people who get their sexual jollies out of the charge that they receive from being in auto accidents. And he's having issues with his wife, trying to really connect with her, and so he begins connecting with these other car crash victims, and they all kind of share the same circles, and it's really strange. But the thing that impressed me
it
the most...
It gets pretty kinky.
It is kinky, but what impressed me the most about it was that everything was presented in this very mundane, banal kind of way. You've got these people having kinky sex, and they have these grisly scars, and Patricia Arquette has these metal braces on her legs that impair her movement, and everything's done in a very matter-of-fact kind of way. So it's kind of speaking to that disconnect that they have from their true relationships and having to dig into this weirdness to kind of form some sort of bond.
Do you know what the tagline was?
Like sex and crashes or something?
Fuck the scar in a car.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think this was NC-17 rated.
Yeah, it was pretty graphic. All right, so recommends or not recommends? Joey?
Both of mine are recommends.
Sean?
I would recommend Dead Ringers. Crash kind of got a little boring despite the crazy shit that was going on.
Yeah.
I remember when that movie came out, it was NC-17, and so it was like, oh my God, we gotta watch this movie, but it just it's not hot at all.
I feel weird now. All right, Chelsea?
Both of mine are recommends.
I'm going to recommend on both of mine as well. All right, that means that it's time to get into the recast. This is our feature segment. where we take a film that is within the portfolio of our subject at hand, being David Cronenberg, and then we hypothetically recast a few of the main roles in that film with contemporary actors. And the first one we're going to do that to is Videodrome from 1983. It's got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why would anybody watch a scum show like Videodrome? Why did you watch it, Max? Business reasons. Sure. What about the other reasons?
Max Wren is a victim.
I woke up with a headache.
He has been exposed to Videodrome.
I've been hallucinating for a while, ever since...
What?
Since I first saw Videodrome.
His brain is already receiving video images. I think that massive doses of Videodrome signal will ultimately produce and control hallucination to the point that it will change human reality. Soon, his visions will coalesce and become uncontrollable flesh. Videodrome is seducing Max Wren.
Please, come to me now. Come to Nikki.
And Max Wren can do nothing to stop it.
What makes you think I need help? None of our test subjects has returned to normality.
Television can change your mind. Videodrome will change your body.
Long live the new flesh.
And we've got one, two, three roles that we're going to recast. We've got Max Wren, played by James Woods, who was 36 at the time. We've got Nikki Brand, played by Debbie Harry, and she famously dyed her blonde hair red for this role. And then we've got Bianco Oblivion, daughter of Dr. Oblivion, played by Sonia Smits. And she was 25 at the time. And who would like to go first amongst our guests? Chelsea, Joey?
Don't anybody
jump at it first. Chelsea, go.
So I don't really like James Woods at all.
He's a creeper.
He's an asshole.
Isn't there some really sketchy stuff about him and like underage girls?
I think so, but also like he's a big Trump supporter and he spews a lot of fucking nonsense and it's ridiculous. So I picked people for the recast that I also hate who have ridiculous political views or
nice.
Yeah. So for James Woods' character, I'm going with Danny Masterson from That 70s Show, The Ranch. he's a Scientologist and also has been accused of rape with him and David Miscavige.
Oh,
there's a big lawsuit.
Damn. He's also the twin brother of the older brother from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes.
In real life. But they are not gynecologists.
Not.
Okay, Joey.
All right, so as I, as Chelsea kind of alluded to, as you alluded to, James Woods is a certified creepy motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to recast him with an also certified creepy motherfucker.
Gotcha.
And the creepiest motherfucker that I could find, who would I think would fit this role, he was George McFly in Back to the Future.
Yes.
He's recently been in American Gods as Mr. World, and he is Crispin Glover.
Nice. I just chopped him for the Jeff Bridges role in...
Vanishing.
The Vanishing, our kidnapping movies?
Yes.
Nice.
He's a little older than James Wood, but that just makes him creepier if he's hitting on... Yeah.
Yeah. So. I like it. Sean?
I went with an actor who was born in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Andrew. Chelsea.
And Buck.
And was raised in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Yeah. He was in This Is the End. He was in... The Goon movies, and he is the voice of Hiccup.
Oh yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon. It's Jay Baruchel.
Jay Baruchel. He shows up in Cosmopolis.
Oh, does he now?
Yeah, he's an employee of Robert Pattinson's
character.
Good
Canadian boy.
Uh huh. All right. Well, my actor is also 36 now, and he definitely has some face value to go on, and also he seems to always be scowling, which I think. When James Woods isn't being smarmy, he's usually scowling. He's really had a great year. He was in Inside Llewyn Davis. He was in Patterson. He was in the Martin Scorsese movie Silence. And he's also in Marriage Story It's Adam Driver. Adam Driver
shopped him.
Is going to be my James Woods character of Max Ran. All right, next up, we've got the role of Nikki Brand, played by Debbie Harry. Her role in this, she's kind of a seductress who gets in over her head, ends up not turning out too well for her. But the Videodrome people use her as kind of bait for James Woods.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie Harry was 38 at the time. And Joey, who is your pick for this?
Well, I struggled with this pick, and I decided to go with a theme here. My theme is all actors from American Gods, as nice. Crispin Glover is from. And so for this pick, I have Gillian Anderson,
who oh, yeah.
everyone knows as Scully. She's yes. also as Media.
Media, yes.
In American Gods.
I love her in American Gods. And at first, I didn't quite recognize her. I was like, wait a minute.
She looks totally different than yeah. she used to, probably because of plastic surgery.
Maybe.
But I always kind of had a crush on her as Scully, so...
Mm-hmm. I prefer Jillian without her son. You're Sean. Your pick.
Chelsea's.
Sorry, Chelsea, go.
My actress was in The Illusionist,
uh-huh.
the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
You would totally know her from the TV show Seventh Heaven. I went with Jessica Biel.
Oh, okay. She was on a TV show not too long ago.
The Sinner.
Yes, that was good.
It was. And then she came out saying, basically, she's an anti-vaxxer.
Oh, that's
or believes
good.
She goes under the guise that it should be a choice.
I was wondering like, why we hate her. Okay.
Parents should have a choice.
Okay. Sean?
Sure. My actress will be 38 years old this year. She was born in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
Andrew,
Chelsea,
and Buck.
I don't give a buck.
So is your theme Canadian, actress?
Well, yeah, because Cronenberg was famously Canadian. Yeah. And
the movie's set in Toronto.
He shot a lot of his films in Canada. And I always notice whenever they say something about this thing is going to impact all of, and instead of saying America, all of North America.
Yeah.
So he always gets that extra dig in to say, yeah, Canada's involved in this too. You'll know her from films such as The Quest, House of Wax,
mm-hmm.
the television show 24, as well as The Girl Next Door. It's Elisha Cuthbert.
Oh, wow. Nice pick. Haven't seen her in a while.
You haven't. She's in a TV series, by the way, good face value for me, yep. I think. She's in a TV series called The Ranch. I don't know what it is.
No, that's the one with Danny Masterson.
And oh. Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, okay.
It's like a Netflix sitcom, right?
Oh.
I haven't seen it.
Well, she's been it's on not it. Good. It's a it's, reality show.
Yeah, it's not.
Wow, really?
So she's Sam on this season. She's been on since the beginning, like 77 Wait, episodes.
That's a reality show. I just thought it was a sitcom.
It's a sitcom.
It's a comedic reality show, right?
Is it I not? Don't reality? Know. I we're don't know if I would roles? Put it in
I
a reality show. No.
They're gonna have to are they this playing one to Dana.
Casted roles? Is it scripted?
Yeah.
Well, this shows that I've never seen The Ranch. I really thought it was a reality show.
I saw
maybe
the first
I just got
season.
Punked.
Oh God.
All right, well, it is my turn now, right?
Yes.
All right, my Nikki Brand is very on brand for my my picks today. She is 35 now as compared to Debbie Harry's 38. She was in The Girl with the Pearl Earring. She was in Lost in Translation. She's in The Avengers, and she's in Marriage Story. Her name is Scarlett Johansson, and I think she has a little bit of face value. With Debbie Harry also. You don't think so?
No, that's fine, yeah. She's very beautiful.
Yeah. And she doesn't even have to dye her hair red.
Well, it doesn't have to be red.
Yeah.
I don't think it was critical to the plot.
I think it was.
Oh.
Because she was always wearing that red dress. All right, next up. Bianca Oblivion. Well,
you could change the color scheme of the remake if you wanted
of
to,
the
though.
Dress. You change the dress?
Yeah.
We've got Bianca Oblivion. Played by Sonia Smits, and she's the daughter of the mastermind behind the whole Videodrome thing. And
she kind of acts as the agent to help undermine the whole plot of what's going on.
Right. She was only 25 at the time. And Joey, who did you pick for this role?
I picked, going with my theme of actors from American Gods, her name is Emily Browning.
Love her.
She plays Laura Moon, I believe is her name on the show. And that is my pick.
Very good. Chelsea?
Continuing with my theme of people who I don't like, I went with Lucy Hale, who believes in crystals.
I mean, that they exist?
No, that they have, like, healing powers, and they provide her energy. Mm-hmm. It's total nonsense and bullshit.
Oh, okay. Damn, I gotta get rid of my crystal collection. I was literally burning sage in the car on
the
way
here. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
ward off that coronavirus. All right.
Yeah. my actress is 25 years old. She was born in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know her from, well, you might know her, I guess, from the TV show Riverdale.
Hmm.
She was in a film called Beyond, and she was in both of the To All the Boys movies as a supporting actress. Her name is Amelia Baronic.
Amelia Baronic. Okay. Nice.
I know her from Riverdale.
Gotcha. She played Midge in Riverdale.
Okay, well, my actor is not tangentially related to my first pick, but to the second one. She's 37 now. I had to age her up a little bit. She is in How I Met Your Mother. She was in Jack Reacher. She's in a TV show called Stumptown, which is set in Portland, Oregon. And she's also in The Avengers. Her name is Kobe Smulders.
Kobe Smulders.
That's her name. What? Yeah. You don't like her?
No.
You don't like her?
No, I like her. No, I have no problem. I don't know.
You just don't know her name?
I just think that's not a real name.
That's her real name.
She was in How I Met Your Mother, and famously, her character was Canadian.
Yeah.
A Canadian pop star.
Yeah, like Tiffany.
Right. Yeah, so she's my pick. I feel like there's a little bit of face value, but also the connection back to Avengers, which in turn connects you back to Marriage Story. So it's just a family affair. All right.
We did that episode already.
I know. So Videodrome, the recommends are coming now. I'm going to recommend it, even though it's fucking weird. It did have a lot to say for the time. At the
I recommend
advent
it.
Of video.
I recommend it. It's a kind of a throwback, but for me, it's kind of a throwback to the era of gore horror that still used practical effects and that. And it also,
a lot of prosthetics.
It's a kind of a high concept movie. I don't think it delivers on all of its philosophies that it tries to, but it ends up being a pretty good mindfuck horror flick, I think.
Body horror. Chelsea?
Oh, I totally recommend it.
Recommend? Sean?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good. We got recommends all around for Videodrome. And with that, we're going to go ahead and go into intermission. But not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
And get ourselves some head cheese.
Ooh, souse meat.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back from intermission. And Sean, when we come back from intermission, what do we like to do?
Beer check-ins.
Beer check-ins. And the first one is somewhat on theme because tomorrow is March 14th, or yesterday for you listeners, March 14th, which is what, Chelsea?
Pie Day.
Pie Day.
And so, Darren Aronofsky, who's clearly influenced heavily by
Cronenberg,
made a movie called Pie.
Oh, that's true. He did. And so what is the beer, Sean?
This is Key Lime Pie from Westbrook Brewing in Charleston. This is a sour ale brewed with natural flavors. 5% alcohol by volume.
Okay. Sounds good. So we're going to crack that open and enjoy some of that. And while we do, we are going to talk about our 2020 movie marathon. And this is a thingamajig that we do. Sean and I and Chelsea and whoever else would like to participate, we try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year. And the goal being this year, 366 films. Today is the 73rd day of the year. And I'm on number 75.
I am on number 93. How'd you know?
I just guessed.
Okay. I'm on 43.
Good job. Also, we should mention that we check these in on Letterboxd and Twitter with the hashtag 2020 Movie Marathon. And what's your first check-in going to be today, Sean?
My first check-in is going... That was me after drinking that sour.
Oh, yeah.
It's tart.
My tongue totally curled on that.
I like it, though.
I do, too. My first check-in is going to be Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay. Speaking of anti-vaxxers. Jim Carrey is the villain in this, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Dr. Robotnik. All right. It's a kid's movie, so the gags are low-hanging fruit, including fart jokes and dad jokes. The plot is paper thin, so kids can follow it. But that's no excuse for Jim Carrey to phone in his performance.
Ah.
He's far better than this.
Gotcha.
He's not great, but he's better than this. This was a terrible, terrible performance from him. I thought he was awful.
He's kind of been skewing away from his best work the past few years, unless you count his paintings, which are amazing. My first check-in is going to be number 71, and it's called Escape from Pretoria. It is a 2020 movie starring Daniel Radcliffe. In this one, he does not have guns bolted to his hands. In fact, he is a political prisoner arrested for protesting apartheid in South Africa. And it is a jailbreak movie, and a pretty solid one at that. So I liked it. Next for you, Sean.
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
I tried to watch it, couldn't really get into it.
I was totally ready to point the finger at neckbeard incels for the film's poor performance, but it's just not a great movie.
Okay. Now, you said there was one standout character, though,
the
right?
The actress who played Black Canary I thought was quite good and a bit of a badass. So
okay.
I thought that was nice. I do not like Rosie Perez.
Okay.
And I did not understand
in
why.
In general or in this movie?
In general. And I didn't understand why they would pull in somebody so far out of the age range of her ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And so she kind of seemed like a little bit of a misfit to me. And
now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Rosie Perez in Suicide Squad? Maybe not.
Don't think so.
Okay.
And of course, having just seen Guns Akimbo and how awesome Samara Weaving was
right.
in her role, I think that she would make a better Harley Quinn than Margot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just don't, I don't, I
That's
don't
That's a hot take right there, Sean.
Yeah. So, lukewarm on that movie. You can take it or leave it.
I think I'm probably going to leave it. My next one is 72, and it's called Spencer Confidential. And this is a film adaptation or spinoff of the old program Spencer for Hire with Robert Urich. Yes. a modernized take on the 1980s crime drama series Spencer for Hire with Mark Wahlberg, Isla Schlesinger, who's doing her absolute best Mira Sorvino impression, and also Winston Duke, who was the dad in Us, Jordan Peele movie. And also Alan Arkin shows up, and we even get a few scenes with Post Malone. It was okay. It's nothing that you need to rush out and see right away. Well, you don't have to rush out because it's on Netflix. But it was serviceable.
Gotcha. I'm going to check in lastly. Jumanji, The Next Level.
Okay.
If you liked Welcome to the Jungle, you'll like this edition.
The Guns N' Roses?
No, the first of the Jumanji reboots. It's got the same cast, more or less. It's got the same feel and humor. So if you did like it, you'll like this one. For me, the best part was seeing Kevin Hart do his best impression of Danny Glover.
Because
Danny Glover at the beginning of the film is inhabiting his avatar in the video game. And it's just spot on.
Nice.
And funny as hell.
I like it. I might have already mentioned this, that he is scheduled to be in the final Friday film, Last Friday, which I've always said, not always, I mean, since the 90s, I've been saying that if Chris Tucker doesn't come back to play Smokey, that they need to get Kevin Hart to do it. Yeah. But now they're both going to be in it. So my final check-in is going to be number 75, and it's called Blood, Boobs, and Beast. And it is a documentary, and it's got the three Bs, and it's about the life and career of Don Doler. He's an American film director known for making low-budget science fiction and horror films, as well as work in underground comics and publishing. When we say low-budget, I mean low-budget. There's one point where they're borrowing a warehouse space to shoot in, and somebody opens a door and the alarm goes off and they have to talk to the police. It was good though. It came out in 2009, but I had never heard of it and really kind of enjoyed it. Sweet. So that's a recommend from me. Either of you seen anything new?
No.
Chelsea? No? Joey?
I saw on a rare adult movie night recently. Mm. I saw Knives Out finally.
Oh yeah,
Ronnie Johnson's Knives Out's amazing. It's I was prepared to hate it because
if there was one drawback of the film, what do you think it was?
It was Daniel Craig's fucking southern accent, yes. Which was awful. But by the end of the movie, I had kind of warmed up to it as kind of a comedic sort of Foghorn Leghorn kind of take or whatever. But it was glaringly not accurate.
Well, they were no holds barred in making fun of that last weekend when Daniel Craig was the host of SNL.
Well, I think that it was a Hollywood Southern accent, which is that it's the kind of Southern accent, the Technicolor version of it that you see in Hollywood movies that doesn't actually exist as any of the actual distinct regional accents of the South.
But that's unless you are South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't even that accent.
No.
So he has that old money Charleston thing. But
nice. It was. All right. So we've got another beer to check in, right?
Yeah. This one is kind of on theme. It's from Elysian Brewing, which is a property owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Mm.
And this is called Contact Haze, Hazy IPA. And I picked it up just because the the can art is really weird. It's this giant head and the face is cracked open.
You can see
the brain inside, and there are all these minions down on the ground walking towards it. Almost like what was the Sean Connery movie with the giant?
Zardoz.
Yeah, Zardoz, exactly.
Nice. So I did not know that InBev had bought Elysian, but don't they make Space Dust?
They do.
And that one's okay, right?
It used to be.
So we're going to try that. And I think that means it's time to go into the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
The Reduxed.
The New Flesh. And the movie that we're going to be talking about is from 1986, one of Cronenberg's better known films. One of the more successful ones, I think. And it's called The Fly from 1986. It's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. And basic rundown, we've got this scientist who's working on a teleportation device, and he accidentally fuses his own physical anatomy with that of a common housefly, correct?
Correct.
Gina Davis is his love interest slash kind of colleague, no?
No, she was a journalist okay. who was covering yeah. him. Yeah.
Gotcha. And it is a remake of an earlier film, which we mentioned, but probably a superior remake.
Absolutely.
And we've got 1, 2, 3 roles that we're going to recast. We've got Seth Brundle, played by Jeff Goldblum. Do you think that's a reference to Brindle? Isn't a Brindlefly a thing? Brindlefly? Or is it Brundlefly? Anyway, played by Jeff Goldblum. He was Dana. 34 at the time. We've got Veronica Quaife, very unfortunately named character, played by Gina Davis, who was 30 at the time. And then finally, we've got Stathis Borans, or Stannis Baratheon, played by John Getz. Now, what was his role?
He was her editor okay. slash sometimes side piece.
Okay.
But he was your typical mid-80s cokehead
yeah.
asshole sleazeball.
Okay, so real quick, after that very good key lime pie beer, this one is... leaves a little bit of something to be desired.
It smells amazing. I thought it was going to be great, but
it doesn't have enough backbone. It's kind of thin.
Then again, I'm really, yeah, very like spoiled by Pixels at Seminar Brewing. That's seminarbrewing.com.
Now, there is a small cult of Pixels fans in Greenville, South Carolina, by the way.
Nice. Been, yeah. Led by Darren Register.
apparently, were wherever they get it from is at, they're out of it. Or we're out of it a couple
There's
weeks ago.
There's more coming. We're canning were, like crazy.
Yeah, so. They were asking me if I could smuggle them some. Yeah. So
mule it up.
Yeah.
Just to warn you before you try to keister it, those cans are 16 ounces. So
you have no faith in me, Travis.
I have faith that you've got a recast for the role of Seth Brundle. All
right, I think I'm just going to go ahead and reveal my theme before okay. I go, because my pick will... won't feel like anything at all if I don't. So, you know how when they remade Ghostbusters with an all-female cast, the incel neckbeards that Sean referenced earlier mm-hmm. went apeshit, and it became this huge sexist pile-on thing. Here's a dirty little secret, though. I don't mean this in any way, shape, or form to condone the abuse that like Leslie Jones and the rest of the cast of that mm-hmm. movie... had. I don't have a problem with them doing right. it as women. I think it was a great idea.
Right.
The movie wasn't that good.
It wasn't no. that great.
So I'm going to give that cast another chance at making a sci-fi classic.
Oh,
and
okay.
playing Jeff Goldblum's scientist character is Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones. Very good. I do have cautious hopes for the new Ghostbusters movie, the yeah. one directed by Jason Reitman, mm-hmm. Ivan Reitman's son.
And I just want to say one more time, fuck all that like sexist bullying bullshit yeah. that was over there.
Same thing that happened with Captain Marvel.
That, yeah, mm-hmm. it wasn't that good a movie.
Fair enough.
You're going to be hard-pressed to get Leslie Jones to make the movie, considering that she is so busy remaking, rebooting the classic TV game show Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, really?
Soon yes!
to come to
that
ABC.
Is awesome. I'm so excited.
I love it when... she would overtly flirt with Colin Jost on Weekend yeah. Update. That was fun stuff. All right. So, Chelsea, your pick for Seth Brundle?
This was hard to recast. I struggled with this. You need like a goofy dude,
yeah.
but somebody that could also be believable as a scientist.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I'm taking a page from your book. Because I picked Adam Driver.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, he would work in either of these. He would be, I think, more likable in this than he would have been in Videodrome.
Yes.
It's hard for James Woods to be likable.
It is.
Did anybody ever see the movie The Hard Way with him and Michael J. Fox? So Michael J. Fox is an actor who's trying to up his cred as a tough guy. And so he convinces James Woods' character, who's a detective, to let him intern with him. And so they, you have the usual odd couple hijinks. But I almost said Marty McFly. Michael J. Fox is constantly doing impressions of James Woods in the movie, and it wasn't a good movie. Sean, your pick for Seth Brundle?
My actor is 35, soon to be 36 later this year. Like Chelsea said, I want someone awkward, gawky,
yeah,
believable as a scientist. This actor was in The Other Guys, In the Loop.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically, in the all-female cast Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And can be seen every week in the really awesome Avenue 5.
Avenue 5. He was also in Veep. And Silicon Valley.
It's Zach Woods.
Zach Woods is good. I like him.
I like him.
I really need to watch Avenue 5.
Oh, yes, you do. It's so
great. Did you hear us talk
great.
About this movie called Anaria? Anaria is a hard sci-fi about this cruise liner that's headed to...
Same premise.
It's basically the same premise, except not comedic. And it's really coincidental that they came out so close together.
Yep.
That movie fucked me up.
Yeah, it is fucked up.
I was not
especially
okay.
when... It keeps going and going, and you jump into the future. All right, so it's my turn.
Yo.
My actor is 29 now. He definitely has some nerd cred, and I would buy him as a scientist. He was in Chappie. He was also in Hotel Mumbai, and he's in the upcoming The Green Knight. His name is Dev Patel. Dev Patel is
nice.
Going to be...
Yeah.
My Brundle. Next up, we've got Gina Davis's character, Veronica Quaffey. Is a Quaffey fly a thing?
No.
Gina Davis was 30 at the time. And because Chelsea's laughing hysterically, Joey, why don't you go ahead and give us your pick for Veronica?
Again, going with my female recast using the cast of the Ghostbusters reboot, we have Kristen Wiig.
Like it.
Obviously in a lesbian relationship with
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones.
Nice.
A Leslie Jones.
This is also, going to be somewhat comedic.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking like maybe not full on Sharknado, but sort of a self-aware B-movie comedy kind of thing.
Cabin in the Woods, maybe?
That's not going to fly.
Yeah.
But self-aware.
Yeah, very. Yeah, Cabin in the Woods. Well, aim for that sort of tone.
Well told, yeah.
Nice. All right, Sean, who's your pick?
All right, this one's an odd pick for me. She is 36 years old, and she can be seen in Widows, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Love it.
And Harriet.
Oh, yeah.
I went with Cynthia Erivo.
Nice. Yeah, she's good.
And the reason I picked her was Gina Davis is so good at acting with her eyes. I think that Cynthia Erivo does the same thing. She's just very eye-heavy with her acting. And
gotcha.
That's why I was drawn to her.
Very good. All right, my actress is 31 now. She's in The Maltese Connection. She's in The Lotus Eaters. She's also in Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Her name is Nicola Wren Martin, and she's also Chris Martin's sister, Chris Martin from Coldplay. She's going to play my Veronica. Finally, we've got Stathis Borans.
It's fine. I didn't want to tell you my recast. Don't worry about it.
Finally, Stathis Borans. No, Chelsea, please.
My actress was in Get Out, and in the horrible... live action version of Peter Pan.
Oh.
And on the TV show Girls, I went with Allison Williams.
Oh, yeah. Allison Williams. She was in a live action Peter Pan?
Oh, yeah.
Was she Peter Pan?
Yes.
Nice. All right. Now we can move on to the final role. I apologize.
That's fine.
And the name of the character was Stathis Borans. And I cannot not say Stannis Baratheon when I see his name. He was played by John Getz. And like you were saying, Sean, he's kind of the quintessential yuppie, coked out 80s boss.
Yep.
Reminds me a little bit of the guy who was trying to move in on John McClane's wife.
I was
going to
say the same thing. Yes.
Joey, who's your pick?
Did I say Kristen Wiig earlier?
Did you mean...
I meant Kate McKinnon
Kate
earlier.
McKinnon, yes.
Kristen Wiig is actually, so Kate McKinnon in the Gina Davis role, Kristen Wiig in this role.
Okay. Yeah, that's believable. I love Kate McKinnon. Mm-hmm. I think that she's fantastic. Chelsea, lest I forget, would you like to go ahead and give us your pick?
I would. My actress was in This Is 40, mm-hmm. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And, oh, surprise, she was also in the TV show Girls. I went with Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Gender flopped it.
Wait, who was she in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? I don't remember
she
that.
She was, I'm pretty sure she was one of the...
Manson family?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. She was the one who was watching over Bruce Dern's character, like wouldn't let anybody in to see him. I think that's right. All right. And Sean, your pick?
This actor is 41 years old this year, and he was in Veronica Mars. He was in a TV series called Killjoys, and can currently be seen in the role of Duncan Locke in the new TV series Lock and Key, based on the very excellent comic book series. His name is Aaron Ashmore.
Aaron Ashmore.
Aaron Ashmore. His brother played Iceman in the X-Men movies.
Oh, wow.
Incidentally.
How do you feel about Lock and Key?
I haven't watched it yet.
Have you?
The comics were great.
I'm about halfway through the first season or so.
Okay.
I have not read, the comics. So.
What's our premise on Lock and Key?
There's a creepy old house, which a family, ancestral home, which a family moves into. Turns out there are a bunch of keys around the place, which do various
in the back of the head, things. Right?
One of them, yeah.
All right, my Stathis is played by John Getz. He was I didn't get an age. How old was John Getz?
Probably around what I said, probably about 40, 41-ish.
Okay. Actor is 36 now, and he's fairly unknown to American audiences, unless they watched a movie called Squadron 303, or the
it's my favorite.
Hallmark or Lifetime movie, one or the other, A Prince for Christmas.
Oh, love it.
Or you could also see him in a movie called Arthur and Merlin. His name is Kirk Barker. Kirk Barker is going to be my Stathis Borans. And did anybody pick up on my theme?
It was all like King Arthur related.
Yeah, it's all Arthurian. We got the Green Knight and King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, and Arthur and Merlin. And I just started with Dev Patel and I was like, ah, there's a theme. Take that.
I did the same thing with the girls.
All right, so I'm going to say recommend, hard recommend on the fly.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a classic.
One of the examples of a remake being better than the original.
Yeah. Also a good example of effective practical effects.
Oh, yeah. This is probably the height of Cronenberg's gross out.
It's the height of Cronenberg, Rick.
Yeah, this is the height of his grotesque stuff. It's so well done. Yeah, good stuff.
Chelsea?
I already said recommend.
Solid rec? All right, so that means it's time to go into our bonus segment, which is going to be a battle royale between some weirdo directors who have weird hairdos. It's going to be a fight to the death between David Cronenberg, David Lynch, and Jim Jarmusch. Who would like to go first?
I'll take it.
Yep.
Jarmusch... I really love a couple of Jarmusch's movies, but on the whole, I find him boring and pretentious and tedious. He's out.
Okay.
I think if it were a real fight, it would be David Lynch.
Okay.
Because he would probably have some sort of weird superpower that we're not aware of.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be pulling for Cronenberg. I think he's the best filmmaker of the three.
Really?
Yeah, I think David Lynch's stuff is... I mean, he's probably more of like a film auteur, to use the word from earlier, than Cronenberg. But his movies so often just devolve into just surreality for the sake of surreality, I think.
Nice. Chelsea?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, Sean.
That said, I love Eraserhead.
Right? Oh, so no. Good.
Drink. No, Eraserhead is almost unwatchable.
Really?
I can't stand it. Really? Oh, it grosses me out every single time.
I mean, yeah, there are some gross things, but I love it.
Now, that's not to say that I don't like David Lynch, but Sean, go ahead and give me your pick.
I'm going to go Cronenberg, Man of the Hour.
Okay.
It's all about that new flesh, man. Mm-hmm. I just think that he's got the...
He's going to reach into his own chest and pull out a gun.
His little chest vagina with the gun. I mean, he's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve, literally. Mm-hmm. His bag of tricks mounted on the back of his spinal cord. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be gross, but he's going to win.
Gotcha.
Just as an aside, too, I know the audience can't see this, but in the picture that we're looking up of Jim, looking at of Jim Jarmusch, he looks like he's doing Billy Idol cosplay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think that he looks like an imperial admiral, like a grand moff. But that being said, I'm just going to go with my favorite of the three, and that's David Lynch. I'm picking him. Eraserhead set aside. I like his movies on a whole better than either of the other two. So, we're going to wrap it up. We want to thank the guests. Thank you, Joey, and thank you, Chelsea,
thank you for
being here tonight.
Me.
Thank you.
And is there anything that you'd like to plug, Joey?
Well, yes. I just had a book came out. It was my collection of short stories called I Have Always Been Here Before.
Nice.
You can find...
I said the title wrong last week when we plugged your
did
book.
You?
Yeah.
Did you?
I was like, I'm not here anymore.
Excuse me. I plugged the book.
Well, you plugged it, but
thank
I
you,
said the
Chelsea.
Name wrong. And Chelsea, what would you like to plug?
Trivia.
Right answers with wrong Travis. And we did just start a new season. Week one was this past week. And also, new rule for trivia, if you have won the 12-week grand prize, you are only ineligible for the following tournament. So after the next 12-week tournament, you can be eligible for that grand prize again. Also, you are more than welcome to compete for week-to-week prizes, regardless if you've won the grand prize. Next week's episode, Sean. Oh, wait. Thank you, Sean. Thank you to the engineer, my co-host and co-producer. Thank you for what you're doing and continue to do. And anything you want to plug, sir?
I want to plug hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah.
Use it.
Use it a lot. Mm-hmm. Somebody posted on Facebook, with all of the booze and hand sanitizer people are buying, they're more likely to set their house on fire than get the coronavirus.
Yeah, they can use their reams of toilet paper as fire starter.
I also heard somebody on NPR, just kind of in passing the other day, say... As an Asian man with a cold, I've never felt more powerful in the airport. Can't take credit for that joke, and I don't know who wrote it, but it was pretty funny. What is next week's episode, Sean?
Oh, this is the film work of one William Shatner.
William
Shatner.
Shatner. It's in celebration of his 89th birthday on March 22nd, but he has something else that he wants to celebrate, right?
Oh, yeah. He's divorced his wife. And
what did he get in the divorce settlement?
In the divorce settlement, he got he received the rights and, I guess, all of their horse semen because they...
Come!
Thank you. And so, yeah, they breed horses, and he's got all of that horse semen, so...
Vials and vials and vials of it.
All right, so with that, we're going to go ahead and do a sneak preview question and answer for this coming week's trivia. Chelsea's losing it.
It really hit Chelsea's tickle bone over there.
Well, horse semen usually does that. Your question, it's a Shatner-related question, is a sneak preview question and answer for this upcoming week's episode of trivia. What was the title of William Shatner's first musical album?
Horse Cum.
No.
I would know this if I saw it.
Ironic if way back then he was like, yep, I know I'm going to get that cum in the divorce. What were you going to say?
I would know this if I saw it, but off the top of my head, I don't know.
Any guesses, Sean?
Is it multiple choice?
No.
A Monster on the Wing.
Oh, from Twilight Zone. Nice.
You already said.
I thought you were joking. It was actually called The Transformed Man.
Oh,
the Transformed
Man. That's so boring.
Well,
which album had his cover of Rocket Man?
I don't know, but that's awesome. Okay, we want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We are hosted natively online. It's cinemachopshop.podbean.com. We're on Twitter. We're at cinemachopshop. We are cinemachopshop on Facebook. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. I checked last week, Joey, and you did not email us your double feature.
I meant to, and I forgot.
Yeah. Also, the two beers that we drank today, we're going to check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. Finally, we want to say thank you to you, the listeners, the Chop Shoppers out there. Keep it coming. Keep those subscriptions and downloads coming. We're getting a little bit more traction. And please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
All hail the new flesh.